tip today in association with Slattery's of Pocón, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Ali. Welcome back to Tip Today. We have that €50 voucher for you, by the way, for Pamela Scott's brand new store in Nina. It's based on you interacting with us by text, joining in the conversations, coming up with something brand new. 083-311-3311. Now, a vigil is getting underway outside of Leinster House this morning over pay and conditions for members of the Defence Forces. The Wives and Partners of the Defence Forces Group, that's WPDF, has organised the vigil and will stage a larger demonstration this afternoon. Shelley Cotter is from the WPDF and I think is on a bus making her way to Leinster House at the moment. Good morning to you, Shelley.
Good morning, and yes, apologies for the noise. I am on the bus.
You're on the way to Leinster House.
Serena and Hare and I are both on the bus on our way up, yep.
Very good indeed. Will you just give us some of the background to this, Shelley? This started in a very small way, didn't it, with a couple of wives getting together?
Absolutely. There was two wives, Judith and Lorraine, they're both army wives. Mm. They met and they realised this. The poverty that they were suffering wasn't just those, that it was actually across board. So they set up the page, WPDF. I'm a naval wife, mm-hmm. and I had been campaigning on my own. I met up with the ladies, and the rest, they say, is history, and here we are.
Where exactly are we, though, and what sort of pay conditions are you going through at the moment?
Where we are at the moment with WPDF is we've been running a highly successful highlighting campaign, speaking to the likes of yourselves, radios, newspapers, televisions, highlighting the conditions of what our serving members are in. And it has culminated today to the march. When it comes to the Defence Forces, I'm afraid the government will run the continual same conversation that they always have, that they are giving us a pay rise in the same level as all the other public pay sectors, which is in remuneration of 1 or 2% at a time. But when you were talking about that the lowest paid public worker sectors before the recession and before all the cuts, and that the same cuts they endured were the same cuts as those on the highest level. So what it did was decimate an already abysmal wage. And we have members who are still 120 to 140 euros down a week.
By comparison to what year?
2009.
Wow. Yep. So still down 120 euros so compared
to
2009.
Compared to 2009. And we have seen small increases, but when you look at the devastation that has hit the wages, it really is a drop in the ocean. And it's not good enough. And for the government to continually talk about the Lansdowne Road Agreement and the roads they're making, they are not acknowledging what was a decimated wage in the Defence Forces. And they're also not acknowledging the cuts in duty money, in seagoing money, the absolute wiping out of the bank detail for the army men and women. And these were their extra bits that bolstered their wages, that helped them pay their mortgages and look after and feed their children. So when you decimate all those on top of a wage, the money they're losing is phenomenal.
Some of the stories that I heard you speak about over the last couple of hours, Shelley, I mean, the notion that some of the members can't feed their children a hot meal on certain days of the week, for
Absolutely.
Example.
Absolutely. It's not a notion. This is absolute fact. We have an influx of males. The families just, the husband and the wife, they will not eat. They will not eat on a Tuesday. Bread, butter, sandwiches, whatever it be. You will have games where they will tell the children, it's a breakfast game for dinner tonight. We are having breakfast cereal because wages are on a Wednesday and they literally don't have pennies. We have serving members sleeping in their cars Monday and Tuesday night because they can't afford the petrol to make it to and from the barracks that they've been moved to. So they are sleeping in their cars. I mean, this is 100% fact.
I was talking to a woman who was working here in Clonmel in the army barracks here, and of course, as you know, that was closed down. She and her husband both work for the Defence Forces. They were moved to Limerick. Now,
yes.
the expenses, as you can imagine,
horrific.
Are huge by comparison
horrific.
With
Absolutely
what they had.
Horrific.
And there's no help for that. They're
None.
In a dire financial No. situation at the moment.
And what we would like to point out is the Defence Forces do not get any extra allowances for any of these things. They don't get any allowances for transport, for if they have to stay overnight. If they do, you are talking about their wage is their wage. And when we were streamlined from a 3 brigade to a 2 brigade, there was absolutely no allowances made for those members, like the ones you've spoken about, that have to travel. So that's another wage that's going to be crippled by petrol, diesel and wear and tear on a car to get to work.
Now, as you say, the department is talking about the Lansdowne Road agreement. They're saying it started in July and there would be full restoration to all public servants earning up to 70,000. But you're saying that's just not good enough?
Well, what we're saying is they do say that, but they will not acknowledge the cost in the duty money, in the seagoing money and in the bank details. So if they even restore the wage on public sector line, what they're not acknowledging is the provisions they made for those that they have cut and decimated. If a man, okay, today as we speak, there are 360 members of the Defence Forces on duty countrywide. And they, for 24 hours staying awake, will earn €20 extra in their wages. Now, it used to be the bones of €100. Now, there's no comparison. They have lost that money. It is not being returned back to them. So the Lansdowne Road Agreement does not allude to bringing that back. It's not good enough.
All right, Shelley, you're holding your vigil then today. There will be a demonstration this afternoon as well. And what are you hoping for from that? Is it just a case of highlighting. Or are you looking for something more profound out of this today?
Absolutely. We're here to highlight. We are here to show the public that might not know that this is the situation. Our Defence Forces have PD4 and RACO. They have representation who do a sterling job. So our job is to highlight, is to be a voice for our members who are contracted not to speak. We'll march for those who are contracted not allowed attend and protest. Mm. So this is what we are doing.
It's interesting, Shelley, that the Gardaí got around this years ago with the blue flu.
Every time.
Yeah. Yep,
this is the second time this has happened. We do acknowledge it, but they have representation. They have union rights. They are at the table. And at the end of the day, it is indicative of how the government feel about the Defence Forces that we're neglected yet again.
All right, Shelley. Well, listen, thanks for taking time out for us today and safe journey
to
the vigil. Thank you. And that's Shelley Cotter, even from the Wives and Partners of the Defence Forces Group. They're making their way to Dublin for that vigil and indeed for that larger demonstration that's happening in Dublin this afternoon as well.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Fairy Tale Off New York kicks off at the David Clark Memorial Theatre in Burrisachane tonight, and our Trudy was there last night for rehearsal. Good night was had by all?
It was. It was a bitterly cold Tuesday night that I travelled up to Burrisachane to the absolutely wonderful David Clark Memorial Hall. It's just a fantastic place. Mm. And in the Resource Centre across the way, that's another story for another day, and there's certainly another story in that. But yes, so they were in last rehearsals, or dress rehearsals if you like, in relation to this play. So, you know, the Burrisachane players, they go back generations there and they produce some amazing works. And while they have their own producer this time, it was actually a different producer they used, simply because the author of this play, Michael Dourley, best known, I suppose, for his work Stella Days, which was turned into that acclaimed film starring Martin Sheen, based actually on the David Clark Memorial Hall. I know some of the scenes were shot in Feathered because of it being an older town, but based Stella Hall, based on that cinema. Anyway, it was his cousin that he got to produce this wonderful, wonderful lady we'll hear from shortly. And it's 5 years in the making, and it basically is based on a true story, loosely based on a true story in Dublin. Two homeless men who took shelter, or who spent the night in a restaurant, it's still there, Brasserie 66 in Dublin, along with two burglars who, basically the premises had been opened by the burglars. The two homeless men happened to go in to take shelter that night, and the four of them spend Christmas night in there, and just the events on that. So it looks on the issues of homelessness and the issues of alcoholism, and it's quite sad, but there are very funny parts. Now, very strong acting in this. I'm blown away by them. They were absolutely incredible. given, you know, these are amateur productions, and I'm always in awe of groups that put this much time and dedication. I mean, these guys have been in rehearsal since July, you know, and it's likewise across the county and across the country.
The dedication is incredible,
absolutely incredible. So basically, as I said, I went down as they were getting, you know, the final bits and pieces here together. Now it's Fairy Tale off New York, obviously, because while it takes its inspiration in from Shane McGowan's musical piece, you know, well, first of all, there's copyright, so you can't be called that. But secondly, the idea that it's off New York, you know, so and when you go to see the play, and I would advise people to go to see the play, they'll see why. So anyway, I went up on Tuesday night and here's how I got on.
Ice cream is wasted on me, Phil.
No, but Brendan, it's easier to get the makeup off afterwards.
Bit of hairball or something like it.
It's easier to get the makeup off afterwards if you get it.
I hate this stuff.
I'm fine.
The candle only lights for the dinner.
It's just for the dinner. But you have to remember to blow it out for them in the middle of that scene, where there's glass at the table.
My name is Phil Quigley, and I'm the producer. Michael is my cousin, and he asked me ages ago to produce this, where I couldn't say no. But we've had great fun doing it. Like, I'm very lucky with the four guys I have. They're extremely good actors, each of them, you know. Like, Brendan Carroll is on the road as long as myself. I would call Brendan the John Wayne of the stage, you know, the older man. And then Greg Starr, I call him the Edward G. Robinson, maybe, and every bit as cranky and contrary. And the fella that's playing the Polish twy, Andrew Dagg from Lura. Andrew is really cool dude, you know, like cool hand dude. And then we have the baddie, it's Kevin Ryan, and Kevin is as good as any actor you'll come across.
What the hell is going on here? This place is supposed to be empty today. We don't know.
We've no idea. How did they get in?
You tell me. That door was supposed to be locked, not wide open. You didn't even use that friggin' key. This is not good. This is not good.
Really, they all play off one another, and as you can see with our first act there, there's a little bit of intrigue coming into it, and it's a lovely little story, but it's a tough story as well, and it's true to life what's happening every day of the week, you know.
And it's actually based on a true story.
It's based, well, the guys seemingly were found on. Guys were found on in a restaurant in Dublin in 2009, and they were prosecuted, but the old man wasn't prosecuted. He actually died a week afterwards. Michael had read a little snip of it in the paper, and it was through that he got the idea and wrote the play, you know. So it's a long time coming together now for Michael, since 2009, you know.
Look, pal, we're not here for the group. You want to sort yourselves out and we're gone, that's fine.
What's that going to be?
On Christmas Day, that Timmy Locke releases at 16 something hours. What time do you make that?
It's only 12:30.
Look,
we can wait a while, but I'm not happy.
Every producer sees a play differently, but Michael has been here a few nights while we were rehearsing, and he just was mesmerised by, well, by the acting. So they're tremendous, our lads, you know, but he really couldn't get over it because he could never foresee it on stage or how to turn out, you know, so he'd be delighted.
And is there ever that kind of tension between a writer and a producer in terms of his vision and your vision?
No, in fairness to the chap, he said to me, Phil, you do whatever you want. And he cut out a few little bits here and there, and he wasn't one bit offended, you know. I just ran it by him first to make sure it wasn't, but no, he wasn't. He was grand, you know, he was grand about it. It would all be for the good of the play, whatever you do, you know what I mean? And even the guys themselves, I said, lads, what do you think? And they said, Phil, no, you're right. We'll take this out or we'll put this in or whatever, you know. But it was agreement through everybody, you know. But no, Michael is fine over the whole thing. He's 10 foot high creature, you know. He's pure delighted.
What the hell are you doing here?
Take refuge for Christmas. Just tonight, my friend very sick.
And how did you get in?
Through the door, normal. Just for Christmas.
How many of you is in here? What are you doing up to?
Sleep. Just sleep.
This place is supposed to be closed. You're not even supposed to be here. Is there no way you can clear off there?
Excuse me, young fella. That man is a guest in our country, and he doesn't understand everything you are saying to him, so don't be asking him any questions. And I suppose you could call that man my home help. And I'm his interpreter.
Miriam Lewis.
Katrina Lennon.
We're involved in Burris Cain Community Resource Centre, which is the old church.
This is kind of a twofer. It's something very special that not only do you get to see the play, the evening continues in the Resource Centre.
That's the plan anyway. We have teas and coffees available for everybody and we hope to have an open mic. So if people are in singing voice, they can continue on well into the night. That's the plan. It's a volunteer group that has taken over the running of the old church. It's now Burris Cain Community Resource Centre and we just want to highlight the resources that are available to the community at large.
And Katrina, then on Sunday there's a special event ahead of the play.
Yes, it's a reflection, we'll call it. It's to do with a plaque that was actually on the side of the wall. It's commemorating a woman that's from the town here with her two sons. They went to America on the boat. They had a mattress to cover them with a cot because the weather was so cold. And one of her sons, he joined the army, he died serving his country from America, and the other son would call went to work with Henry Ford, and he designed the engine of the cars.
So effectively, a family went over virtually penniless, and this man then ended up employing thousands of people.
Yes, basically, would call like.
So the idea of the reflection then is to.
It's just to spend a few moments just thinking about this lady who left alone with two young children to a new country and the possibilities of opportunities, I suppose, really, coming across to the play then, because it deals with the issues of homelessness and maybe alcoholism a little bit, and it just all ties in quite nicely, and it's a plaque that has never been acknowledged in the town, so we would just like to mark it. It's just an opportunity to mark the occasion.
Fairy tale of New York. Some of the acting in that is just incredible, isn't it?
They're incredible. They were absolutely incredible. I mean, in fairness to Phil, she kept saying, come on, hurry on, Trudy has to go. She's a long way to go. I never asked her to, but it was lovely of her to do it. Yeah. So I kind of only got to stay for the first act, and I'd love to have stayed for all of it. But unfortunately, time was ticking by, and we were due and Nina the following morning and a long night ahead of me.
The story of the dedication of the hall, the plaque.
That is incredible, isn't it? Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah, a mother and her two sons went over, from a time in Ireland where people had nothing, and they went to a country with nothing. And one was able to, it was the Civil War he joined, and unfortunately he died in. And the second man then worked alongside Henry Ford. So Henry made the cars and he made the engines. This Irish man went over as a child with absolutely nothing and ended up employing thousands of people. So it ties in beautifully with the story in terms of immigration and, the story of the fairy tale of New York and the dreams and the hopes and the wishes and what can and cannot happen. So, it really, it's definitely a play. If at all you're in the area or, even if you're not in the area, I would advise you to go and see. And just, there are two numbers there I just have to give you out in terms of tickets. They're going very well. So it's opening tonight and it's on until Sunday. So you have the play, then you go across to the Resource Centre for a cup of tea and sing songs for the night, which sounds fantastic. So two numbers, 086-8941-626. That's 086-8941-626 and 087-285-0741. That's 087-285-0741. And I also forgot to mention that funds in relation to this are going towards homeless services. So, you're helping a good cause. And on the tail end of that, you heard people from the Resource Centre. We will be speaking to them next week because that is a story all on its own. Yeah. It's the work that they've done is amazing too in terms of providing services to the local area. So stay tuned for that.
All right, Trudy, thanks very much indeed. Well done to Burris Cain players there and Fairy Tale of New York. Let's take a break. We're back with more Tip Today in just a few moments' time.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip Today on 1-800-938-007.
No, just something else to bring to your attention. I heard from my old friend, Father Jim Purcell, that this coming Sunday, the Thurles Cathedral Choir, along with the Clonmel Concert Orchestra. A beautiful programme of sacred and classical music will happen at the Cathedral in Thurles. Now, admission there is free, but donations gratefully appreciated, and the surplus will go to the upkeep of that wonderful cathedral in Thurles, as well as that, Shine Cashel and Emily. It's a project promoting and, I suppose, encouraging liturgical music in secondary schools. 635 students from 13 schools right across the diocese, including Thurles, will raise their voices and their hands in the Cathedral of the Assumption in Thurles on Wednesday, December 6th, which is next Wednesday, at 7:30. Now, if you're a lover of music, the Cathedral of the Assumption is the place to be at 7:30 on December 6th. All are welcome to lift your voices, I'm told, to the sky, raise your hands and lift them high. Now, there's no admission there either, and donations will be accepted and will go towards funding youth ministry projects such as Shine in the diocese. So two lovely occasions of music there. 1800 938 007.
Money, money, money. Brought to you by the Money Doctor, John Lowe, personal finance practitioner. Moneydoctor.ie.
Good morning to you, John, and how are you today?
I'm very well indeed, Fran. In fact, if I told you two nights ago, I was at the Leicester Tottenham game, and the result wasn't good as a Tottenham fan.
But you've recovered, have you?
I've recovered, yeah. It was a good match to be at, actually, and a fine stadium. But I could give you a match report, but I think we've got more important things.
More important things? You know, myself and Trudy were discussing, we didn't know that a stock exchange could be sold.
Yeah, it's a business. It's like any business is a business, you know, with memberships and obviously the stockbrokers have to be members of the stock exchange, and so they're doing a phenomenal amount of business. Of course, with Brexit around the corner, it means there's a very good opportunity for the new owners to expand. I like that old Warren Buffett kind of one-liner. He said that the stock market is a mechanism for transferring wealth from the impatient to the patient. So, and that's what these guys are doing, you know. So it's a long-term investment.
Of course, yeah.
Over 100 million, so it's not to be sniffed at.
But who currently owns the stock exchange?
Well, it would be the actual members. It's a co-op.
Right.
So they've decided to hand the whole thing over, essentially.
Right. And who is buying it then?
It's a crowd. And again, I'm in my cards. I haven't got the actual details, but they're a crowd flex, kind of Eurofex company, who are obviously in the business and who obviously want to expand their business as well. Right. As I say, it's a business that's it's like anything else. You know, if you're making profit, if you have opportunity to sell to a vast, bigger audience, then you go for that.
That's very interesting. And I'm just wondering how they make money. Is it on each transaction they get a percentage of? Is that the way it works?
There's a fee every time you buy or sell shares.
Right.
You're paying a fee. The cheapest form of buying would be the index funds.
Mm.
They're very very small. But and again, each stockbroker would have a different price to the next. So it's the same thing, Fran. You shop around.
It's very interesting, isn't it? All right, so more down-to-earth matters, I suppose, for those of us who are not involved in high finance. The Central Bank of Ireland, following that review, they're not changing their rules in relation to the deposit from first-time buyers, John.
No, they're not. Very, very minor changes. More to do with the lenders rather than the borrowers. That their parameters are being allowed to be a little bit more generous. And give them a little bit of discretion. For instance, if you had a mortgage application and it was 3.5 times income, and you've only got maybe 3.25, well, they'll be given that little bit of leeway to give that discretion for a certain percentage of the entire loan book that they have.
Mm.
So they basically broadly agreed with what the parameters currently are.
Right. And in terms of how this will affect future house prices then, or will it?
I don't think it will. I think it's still supply and demand, and very much the demand is there and the supply sadly isn't. And that's why we've still got this crazy situation where rental income and rents have gone mad. And because of that, people want to buy, and because there's not enough supply of property, demand is going up.
I presume they'll continue to monitor the situation, though.
Well, absolutely. But, we've already seen headlines of, house prices going up 20% in the next 3 years. I don't know, Fran, whether that's going to apply to the more rural areas. Certainly in urban areas, it certainly will apply. And that's because of, supply is not there.
The other thing that struck me as well, and I know you have concerns about it too, is that Ireland is among the most expensive EU countries for electricity.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And yet, there's lots of bargains to be had out there. I mean, we have, for instance, OnPost have just announced a new account called the Smart Account.
Mm.
And they have got SSE Electricity as one of their partners, where you can get a 5% discount when you use their debit card. And they're already doing a money-back offer themselves, SSE Electricity. So it's back to what I keep saying, Fran. Shop around,
yeah.
Because once you look at your bill and say, my God, that's desperate, you need to go and get a comparative quote. You've got, Bord Gáis, Electric Ireland, all of these kind of suppliers, providers.
Sorry, John, I beg your pardon. Do go on.
Well, I was just going to say that there are other, like Energy and Prepay Power, that where you can do it, on a kind of the old shilling meter, Fran, as you may remember.
I do indeed. And I was going to ask you about that. Is that something you might advocate, John?
I think it's good if it disciplines you to better manage your money. I'm all for it. You'd have like next month now. I mean, we've got 24 days shopping to Christmas, and that's 24 days to get your favorite broadcaster a bottle of wine or whatever. And so next year, come January, what you want to do is start thinking about the following Christmas. How are you going to plan it? And so I'm all for getting if it's Prepay Power or whatever it is, or Pinergy, and you're going to be putting money in a meter, which means that you can save more money from doing that because you're disciplined and you're going to be careful about the electricity you use, then do it. You would be more careful, I think. If you saw a little spinning thing going round and round and round,
sure.
After it's fun, the more electricity you use, you'll be more kind of careful about how fast that thing is spinning around.
But if you use that prepay system, are you paying any more overall for electricity?
I don't think you are. I don't think you're actually saving much in terms of Electric Ireland, or it's just that it's more disciplined and therefore you're probably more careful. You will go off and turn off the lights. You will switch down the heating maybe if it's electric. So those kind of things will help you. It'll sharpen your mind to kind of save.
We're very slow to shop around. We're very slow, John, to make a jump from one company to another as well. I presume you'd advise us to do that, though, in this case.
It's like anything, Fran. There are three areas: apathy, ignorance, and lack of time. And in the majority of cases, it's really the lack of time because, people are lead such, we're all such busy people.
Yeah.
So much on, and we've got so many interests. And, it's like you attending a financial seminar. We have better things to be doing, but it's really important to shop around and get the best value. I mean, there's a very good website, consumerhelp.ie, which is the old National Consumer Agency. It's now, I think, called the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. And they have a very, very good website, consumerhelp.ie, and what they have is everything you care to mention, from current accounts to credit cards, to a whole raft of comparative financial areas that you can, get information on and find out what is the best for you.
Mm.
And there are, as I say, I'm a devil for, saving money, either getting, these special discount loyalty vouchers and all sorts of things, and then bringing them down to your local shop and using them. you know, I think I've mentioned before about the free apps, things like Beep and Go for Android or Store Card for your iTunes. The Beep and Go means that I have, for instance, on my one, which is an Android, I have Apple Green, Dunn's, Super Value, Tesco, all of those cards on one app. So that means that I don't have to go with a whole bunch of these discount tags going into my local shop. And it means I'm availing of all that that discount.
Can we rely on some of those comparison websites? Is there any danger that they might be partisan in some way? Or?
Well, no. Consumer Help is a government agency, Fran, so that's not a comparison. That's not a commercial entity.
Mm.
That's actually there put by the government in order to give us a very independent view on what's out there available, whether it's a financial product or whether it's, you know, consumers, you know.
Yeah, but there's ones like bonkers.ie, I think, is one, isn't it?
They would be commercial, absolutely, yeah. And I would agree that switcher.ie is another one. There's a number of those that are out there, what they're doing is they're just notifying the public, the consumer, that here are, the latest. Some of them would be the flavor of the day, brand, so you don't ignore that either.
All right, John, listen, it's always a pleasure, and look after yourself and safe journey to you as well. That is our money doctor himself, John Lowe. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got more tip today on the way, but we want to hear from you. 1800-938-007. That text number is 083-311-3311. Give me a name and an address when you're making contact with us if you want to get into that draw to celebrate Pamela Spott's brand new... Pamela Spott? Is that what it is? Pamela Scott's brand new store in Neenah. We have a €50 voucher. There's also the possibility of being upgraded because our daily winners will be thrown with wild abandon into the hat tomorrow. One of them will be upgraded to a €250 voucher for Pamela Scott's in Neenah. So that's not to be sneezed at.
Thought of automatic cars is frightening considering the problems with cruise control, according to our listener. Many incidents where cruise control cannot be disengaged. It also disables the brakes, etc. The driver is therefore helpless and can only steer the car trying to avoid obstacles. They claim there's been many serious accidents and deaths as a result. I know I've heard of one or two, but I don't know if it could be directly linked to it. These incidents have happened in Ireland and worldwide, according to our listener. And if you Google cruise control malfunction, there are reports of some of these incidents. They go on to say the police in Dubai have issued guidelines on what to do if this happens. And perhaps we could mention it just to alert people. Well, there's always dangers with cruise control. And the Gardaí will also tell you, particularly during times of storm and bad weather, not to engage cruise control because of the dangers that they're with.
Funny enough, I don't use it anyway. I'm a bit scared of it.
I use it a bit on the motorways. I do tend to. Just, you know, if you're trying to keep to a steady speed and, you know, not go over the limit or very over the limit.
Say no more about that.
Truly. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. No, have you one more for me?
I do. I have one more for you, I think.
All right.
Came in from Sean O'Connor. He said, Fran, there is little respect for Defence Forces ex-members, even when they make claims against the department. And we have a couple of more on that vein.
All right. Thanks very much indeed for that, Trudy. In the next hour, we'll have our vet parade from Aravets.